And this evening we're back in Acts 17. In fact, we're going to be in Acts 17. We were there last week. We're there tonight. We're going to be there for the next couple weeks after this in Acts 17. Acts 17, there's so many things to talk about in that chapter. And we're only going to do four out of that chapter, but we could do an easy dozen sermons out of that chapter. But you might not come back after the seventh or eighth one just because you want us to turn the page and go on to something else. But in Thessalonica, the apostles were resisted. But here in Berea, they were received. And next, we'll look at Athens where they were ridiculed. And our text this evening in Acts 17, 10 through 14. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also, and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. We can learn a lot about here about Bible study. You know, God called these people and He referred to them as noble, which means that they were excellent. God gave them a star or a smiley face or an A+ for their effort here in Bible study. And notice there are three key words that we want to look at here this evening. The first is received. Received. And we see this in this passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us. And so they received the word. Now, the word received is an interesting word in this passage. The word received, and we find in a lot of places don't go back here. You received the word of God, which you heard from us, and you received it not as the word of men. I want to point out that the word received is used here twice, and it sounds a little bit like double talk, that when you received it, you received it. But it's not double talk, and the reason is because there's actually two Greek words that are here that are being discussed. And that's the fascinating thing about getting back to the original language, that we begin to discover some things that are not apparent to us in the English language. The text that we're and the translation that we're most familiar with, the King James Version, that often they were at a hindrance at some points in making these translations because they were not even working with the oldest texts of the Bible, and they were using a relatively new text in their translation, and so they don't always get the words accurately translated. And some of the newer translations have tried to do that to some point. But at some point, we need to go back and look at what these words mean. Here is one word received, is this Greek word, and I'll not try to pronounce this one this evening, but it means casually taste something. And there's the second Greek word that's used here is to hear with the heart. Now, Paul was thankful that they didn't just hear with their ears, but they also received it with their heart. You know, and we know the Scripture that tells us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. You know, it's kind of like this, if we can use this kind of poor illustration here. A young man is at home watching a movie, and his dad yells into the room there, and he says, take out the garbage. And he says, okay. And so he sits there for another hour, and he watches the movie. Did he hear it with his ears? Yes, he did. Did he embrace it with his heart? No, he didn't. And I'm not sure how much you can embrace garbage anyway, but he certainly didn't hear. Now, let's take another example here. A couple has been dating for months, and she wonders if it ever popped the question. And one night, they go out to this romantic restaurant with the candles and the violins, and he looks at her and he says, Matilda? And she says, yes, Throckmorton? And he says, can I ask you a question? And, sure. She's getting all excited, you know. And he says, pass me the ketchup. Oh, okay, here it is. And then he says, one more thing. You know, will you marry me? And she says, oh, yes, Throckmorton, yes, I'll marry you. And she throws her arms around his neck. Now, did she hear with her ears? Yes, she did. And did she embrace it with her heart? You bet she did, of course. Guess what word is used in Acts 17:11 here when it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word here. It's, of course, the one that has to do with receiving it and embracing it with our heart. So, did you know that many people hear the word with their ears, but they don't allow it into their hearts? Some can come for years on end, and it never changes their hearts, or their lifestyle, or their worldview. You know, and how can this be? And so we need to approach the Word of God with faith. We must believe that this is not the Word of mere mortals here that we're offering, but of God. And we must present the Word with that kind of understanding and with that type of attitude. You know, God has a personal message that is suited for me in what is being said. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. No, we believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And we believe that for several reasons. But just to give you a couple here this evening, one is its drawing power. You know, when you are in college, one of the things that happens in college are there are just certain general education courses that you have to take. It doesn't make any difference what you plan to do in the future. You know, you may want to be just a skilled carpenter, but you have to take the stupid literature classes, for instance. And you think, what does this have to do with turning on a power tool? You know, but you know, you're in a class here with teaching Shakespeare. Now, I've always asked this question: who in the world decided that Shakespeare was important enough that everybody in the world had to read him? I don't know. I like to know who makes all these rules up. Who decides what music is classical and what isn't? I want to know those things. Nobody has those answers for me. They just look at me peculiar when I ask them. But, you know, you have to take those. So you look around the room, and here's a room full of people. Listen to somebody moan on and on and on about Shakespeare. Well, that's wonderful, but the room was full. Why? Because they had to take the class. But one of the things about the Word of God that impresses me is that people get to choose to be here. You chose to be here this evening. There will be people who will choose to be in houses of worship tomorrow. It has a drawing power. There is something about God's Word that draws people in. And I think that says a lot. There's also this universal appeal that we see with this. There, to the young and the old, the white collar, the blue collar, all ages, all races, all classes. You know, all that is who are coming, they're looking for something, who want to learn the truth, who have a humble and teachable spirit. There is something in this book for you. It is universal. It has appeal to everybody in every age bracket. We got people in the back room right now who are being taught because it has an appeal to that age bracket. And we got people that are slightly older, even celebrating birthdays today, who find that it has an appeal to them. Even at this stage, there's always this appeal of this word. So a question for you tonight, can you take it when the word is rough with you? How do you fare when God's word deals with you about an area that needs to be changed? Some people don't like what they hear sometimes. But really, what they don't like is what they see in the mirror. You know, James tells us that the word is a mirror which doesn't lie. Well, you ever look at a mirror and get mad? You ever look at a mirror and see a pimple that shouldn't be there, or a wrinkle that shouldn't be there, or a chin that shouldn't be there? It doesn't do any good to get mad at the mirror, but the one holding the mirror, or the one holding the mirror to you, you know, it doesn't do any good to do that. You know, but oftentimes people come to church and the mirror, the word shows them something that they don't like, but they get mad at the mirror or at the church or at the one holding the mirror. And I've been accused before of preaching at somebody. They say, you were talking to me. Well, yes, I might have been, but I didn't know what was going on. You know, you aimed that at me and what they're talking about came right out of the expository text. As we go through the Bible and examine these things verse by verse, only God can do what you're crediting me for. And I thank you for that, but He really should get the credit. You know, they think that I've been reading their mail, but I haven't. God has been. So He sends them a message. So don't kill the messenger. You get mad at the pimple and get mad at the wrinkle, but you do the radical surgery that is necessary. Many don't want to be conformed to what the Bible says, and they don't want to be confronted with their sin or their lack of obedience. They just keep the mirror of the Word away from them because ignorance is bliss. You know? If I don't look into the mirror, I don't have to worry about what I look like. A mountain man from way back in the hills in Tennessee, he'd never been out of his part of the country. For years. Never been around much of a civilization. And certainly there are a lot of things that we take for granted I never saw. One of those things is that he'd never seen a mirror before. And he came upon a vacated campsite, and people had left some food and supplies, and they left a mirror. And he looked into it, and it scared him. He said, "Obby, it's a picture of my old pappy." And real sentimental-like, he kept it, but he wanted to keep it from his wife, and he didn't want her looking at it, so he snuck it under the mattress of their bed. Well, his wife saw him do that. And so when he was gone, she got it, and she looked at it. And it startled her, too. And she said, "So that's the old hag he's been running around with." I hope you're here to see yourself as you really are. Not playing church. This is a hospital for sinners. It's not a display case for saints. So if you take time to get on your knees in your private moments, your life will show difference in both public and private. You know, forgive me for being honest in my preaching, but don't we pay the doctor to be honest? Or is it so he'll say what we want him to say? No, just, did we ask him? Well, just touch up those x-rays and it'll be all right, you know? Doc, look me over, but if you find something, don't tell me. You know, a man went to a doctor and the doctor told him he was obese. And he said, "What?" And the doctor said, "You're fat." And he says, "I want a second opinion." And he said, "Okay, you're ugly too." And so I paid him $80 and he walked out. You know, we have surgery and they cut on us and we come to and we're in pain. And we pay them thousands to do that to us. So why approach the word differently? You know, pay me thousands. Yeah. We only received it. Secondly, with this readiness that we see here, readiness And the scripture, Acts 17:11 again, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. That means eagerness. These folks look forward to it on a daily basis. They look forward to it like you're looking forward to snack time here. You know, but the word is spiritual food. And it's really good. Our bellies tell us when we've gone too long from eating. Doesn't your spirit do the same thing about the spiritual word? Do you hear it? You know, there is a difference, of course, in the call to food between Peggy and myself. For Peggy, it's never a big deal most of the time. It always is for me, so I'm usually the one that calls for the food more frequently. And I don't think we need me to stand sideways for an example of that. But if we're driving down the road and she says she's hungry, she doesn't mean find the next exit. She means pull over and kill a rabbit. Would to God that we were eager for spiritual food. You see, there's two people sitting in that seat right now with you. And you wonder why it seems so crowded, don't you? But it's your physical person and your spiritual person. And whichever one we feed will thrive and prosper. And this makes our services more exciting and electric. You know, there's something in the air around here oftentimes when our people come in really looking forward to what God has for them. The basketball coach Al McGuire used to refer to the crowd as the sixth man. He realized the crowd here made his players play at a different level. If you just watch a group of teenage boys where they're out playing basketball and they're having fun, and then introduce two or three teenage girls and watch the game goes to a whole different level. You know, well, our crowd is moving in that direction, and I like it. I like, when you're listening, when you're smiling, when you're clapping, when you're laughing, amening, it's like saying sick 'em. You know, to a bulldog like me, and to everyone else around us as well, it's contagious, as well as a dead spirit is contagious. And if you wonder why I preach so long sometimes, now you know it's your fault. Because you've just egged me on with what you've said to me. Now, when you come to church, do this. Pretend that you're the only one here, and it's just you and me, and listen the way you would if the two of us were talking out there by the door. Anything that would be rude then would be rude now, of course. You know, the things that we do sometimes that take away from our worship experience causes us, of course, to diminish what God is trying to present to us on any particular event in which we come together with Him and His family. I'm sharing all this, of course, for your benefit and mine. A little thing that says, My pastor shapes his sermons from A to final Z in clear and forthright language and aims them straight at me. And when he gets to preaching, I look around to see if there might be another deserving more than me. But every soul looks saintly, their hearts to heaven turn, while I, in my conviction, can only sit and squirm. You know, I often wonder, if I should miss a day, would he, without his target, have anything to say? They received it in faith, they had readiness, they were eager, and finally, it was that they did it daily. Notice this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. According to medical science, some birds can go 9 days without food. Some dogs can go 20 days without food. Some turtles can go 500 days without food. Some fish can go 1,000 days without food. And by the way, those are the ones that always are out there when I'm fishing. They never... But humans can only go just a few days. What you get here, even if you attend every service, is not enough. You're not a bird, so don't go days in between. Let's indeed be brilliant. Let's receive this word in faith. Let us do it with readiness or an eagerness to look it over. And let us do it daily. And I can guarantee you, you're going to get an A+ from God.